We're in Mark's Gospel today. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Mark 9, 30 to 37, in a sermon entitled Lessons from a Child. Mark 9, verse 30. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Lord Jesus, as we examine this passage of Scripture, as we receive lessons from a child today, we pray that you would speak, draw us to yourself, and help us to become more like Jesus. In your name, amen. Now, some of you of a certain age will remember when Bishop Fulton Sheen was one of television's greatest stars. Now, those of the rest of you that have no idea who I'm talking about, Google it either now or later while I'm talking about him. So, for those of you who were not even born, Sheen was a person who gave televised talks. There weren't a lot of choices on television. So he was one of the channels that you might very well end up having on. And you might be amazed that he actually won an Emmy Award for the most outstanding television personality. He was featured on the cover of Time magazine. He received thousands upon thousands of letters from viewers. And one mother wrote to him in a letter that her son was under her feet while she was working in the kitchen, and she said to him, "Go into the parlor, turn on the television, and listen to Bishop Sheen. He's smart. You'll learn something." Today, we give him a tablet and say, "Go play a game." Well, this was what they sent him to do. Go listen to Bishop Sheen. You're going to learn something. He's smart. And so he did what his mother told him to do. And at the moment, that very moment Sheen appeared on television, he was writing the word sex on the blackboard. And obviously, that was the theme of the broadcast for the day. And the boy ran back to his mother and said, "Bishop Sheen isn't too smart. He doesn't even know how to spell six." Children will keep you on their toes, won't they? A woman wrote to Reader's Digest recently to tell about an incident involving one of her 5 children. They'd just finished tucking the kids into bed when 3-year-old Billy began to wail. I mean, he was wailing. Turns out that he had accidentally swallowed a penny, and he was absolutely certain, having swallowed that penny, that he was going to die. And so they were desperate to calm him, and so she said her husband palmed a penny that he had in his pocket and pretended to pull it right out of Billy's ear. He was delighted, Billy was, and in a flash he snatched it from his father's hands, swallowed it, and demanded, "Do it again, Daddy, do it again." They keep us on our toes. But the truth is, if you pay attention to them, there is a whole lot you can learn from children. You may know a story about Albert Einstein. One of his neighbors, the mother of a 10-year-old girl, noticed that the child would often go visit Einstein's house. And the woman was curious, wondered, and the child explained, "I had trouble with my homework in arithmetic." People said that at number 112, there lives a very big mathematician who is also a very good man. So I asked him to help me. He was very willing, and he explained everything very well. He said I should return whenever I find a problem too difficult. She was alarmed at her child's boldness. Aren't we sometimes alarmed at our children's boldness? And so the mother was really feeling bad, and she went to Einstein, and she wanted to apologize to him, and she tried, and Einstein said, "You don't have to excuse yourself. I have learned more from the conversations with the child than she has learned from me." Any of you who've been a teacher, especially a kindergarten teacher, know exactly what I'm talking about. You know more about home life than you ever wanted to know. So here Jesus and his disciples are, and they are traveling through Galilee. They've returned from Capernaum, and when they got settled in from their journey, Jesus asks them a question. They were arguing. Lots of people in the church argue. Lots of different people argue. And the disciples of Jesus were having a disagreement. They were arguing with one another, the Bible says. And so they didn't say anything. Usually silence is not a good sign for those of you who have had children. And you look and they've got the look in their eyes that says, "I'm guilty." And they say absolutely nothing. Well, the disciples were guilty and they had nothing to say. But Jesus, who is all-knowing, says to them, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. He was telling them, you've got it all wrong. You've got the kingdom of God and you're trying to figure out saying who's number one. And I'm telling you right now, I came to die on Calvary's cross so that I could be the servant of everyone, so that I could give my life for everyone. Don't you see what I just said? And what did Jesus just say? They didn't listen. Before this argument in verse 31, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Does that sound like the first? They will kill him. Does that sound like something you do to the first? After 3 days, he will rise. He was trying to let them know his mission and his purpose, and all they could figure out is how they could get up in the ladder of the organization. So the disciples were embarrassed. They were embarrassed because they were arguing about something they didn't want Jesus to know they were arguing about. And so he does something. He takes them in verse 36, and he takes a little child. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ taking a situation where people are arguing among themselves as adults, and his answer to bring them to a place of understanding is to bring a little child into their midst. He brings a little child into their midst and he says to them something that we should always remember. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. If you want to welcome Jesus, welcome the children. If you want to bring happiness to the heart of Jesus, welcome children. It is a whole lot harder when we folk get older because we tend to get stuck in our ways, no matter who we are. But if you can come across a child and you can train them and let them know about Jesus, they will have a greater likelihood of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we focus as a church and as we focus as individuals on reaching the lost, part of our focus must definitely be the children, for they will direct us. It was good to hear about Operation Christmas Child, and Sharon is the person that's in charge of that here, and we're praising God for that opportunity because it is a ministry of sharing the gospel with a child. We've heard stories over and over again about an unreached person whose whole family comes to Christ because of a box that was prayed over and packed ends up transforming the world. So as you're giving your pencils and your crayons and you're preparing to come to the packing party, be understanding of this. The difference that time you take and that money you spend makes in the life of a child is transformational. And Jesus already says thank you because he said, if you welcome a child, you welcome me. So this is the object lesson. I'm thankful for this passage in the New Testament because I want to make sure that all of us understand that Jesus had a high regard for children. Now, this is really interesting because when you go back into the history, in ancient Israel, children were not viewed very favorably. So Jesus comes onto the scene with a very favorable view of children that was not true at the time. So they were considered among the lowest elements in society. Kind of seen but not heard. Came right up until we were around. Okay, they were right along with women and old men and slaves. Physically weak burdens on society. They didn't have very much value to the wider life of the community. In Greece and Rome, it was an accepted practice to abandon unwanted children along the roadsides to die. But his attitude toward children, Jesus' attitude toward children, could not have been more different. He warned his followers not to despise children, nor to cause them to stumble. And this passage is not the only place in the Bible where we find Jesus glorifying children. He enjoyed the presence of children. You remember that wonderful scene where the disciples were keeping the children away from Jesus, afraid that they might bother the master? Jesus said, Matthew 19:14, in the KJV that many of us grew up with, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And some of us smile at that translation as to the how we translate "suffer" today versus in the King James times. We can remember suffering, some of us, through Sunday school and worship. The modern translation, "let the little children come to me," is a lot more accurate. He elevated children even higher in Luke chapter 18 when he said, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." So there's something about a child that we must understand and get. We don't know everything Christ meant by that, but it reminds us how precious the children in our church are, the children in our community are, the children in the world are. And today's lesson reminds us that children are great teachers. An anonymous author has made a list of some of the things you don't know until you have kids. For example, without kids, you wouldn't know who John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt is. You wouldn't know how to change a diaper in the dark in a parked car and a standing child and all of the above simultaneously. You wouldn't know which line of the Cat in the Hat and If I Ran the Circus can be skipped over without a child noticing. Or the locations of public restrooms all across town. Or how little sleep a human body truly needs to function. You wouldn't know almost every Disney lyric ever penned. Or why they call them Happy Meals. Or the blessedness of naps. Finally, without children, you wouldn't know how much you can love one human being. There are many more things we can learn from our children. One thing, we wouldn't know what unrestrained joy is. You want to know something? You want to be happy. Are you down? Are you sad? Are you depressed? Find a child. Find a child. Watch a child at play, and you'll usually hear this. The wonderful sound of laughter. Laughter. And according to experts in the field, children laugh 400 times a day on average. Whereas you and I, we adults, laugh only 17 times per day. Unless you're Wayne, he's got us all beat, including the kids. As we grow older, we lose the exuberant happiness of childhood. And if it gets to you that your children are too exuberant at times, remember to thank God for that exuberance. It's a sign that they're healthy and happy. So if they yell out today in church, yay, they're healthy. They're not sick. They're not home with a runny nose. They're here in the house of the Lord. We know that life is stressful. We need children or grandchildren to remind us what unrestrained joy is all about. And they also teach us about unrestrained love. Most of us have encountered that love at some times in our lives. And when you receive unrestrained love, it brings you indescribable joy. Some of the greatest moments in my life are when someone, one of my kids comes up and hugs me, or you get that aw moment when Audrey comes up and hugs my leg just saying, I love you, Pop Pop. Indescribable joy. They know, children do, how to express love in the most beautiful ways. And Wayne, if our society and our world and our government and our politicians were more like the little children, we'd all be in better shape. It's interesting. Their love moves beyond the boundaries we adults put on love. For example, they don't reserve love for people who like them. Sometimes children understand the heart of Jesus better than adults, and maybe that's the point Jesus was trying to get across. Children teach us about unrestrained joy. Children teach us about unrestrained love, and most of all, they teach us about unrestrained faith. Unrestrained faith. Author and business consultant Ken Blanchard tells the wonderful story of a little girl named Shkia. And maybe you remember that little girl. She was 4 years old when her baby brother was born. And little Shkia began to ask her parents to leave her alone with the little new baby. And they worried that, like most four-year-olds, she might want to hit the baby or shake the baby. So they said no. And over time, since Shkia wasn't showing any signs of jealousy, they decided they'd change their minds. And they decided that she could have a private conference with the baby. And elated, she went into the baby's room and shut the door. But, of course, they left it open just a crack. Enough for them to peek in and listen. And they saw little Shkia walk quietly up to her baby brother and put her face close to his and say, baby, tell me what God feels like. I'm starting to forget. Tell me what God feels like. I'm starting to forget. What a beautiful story, but faith is the natural state of a child. Listen to your children. God gave them to you so that you may guide them as they grow and mature. But God also gave them to you so that they can teach you what is really important in life. Like unrestrained joy, unrestrained love, unrestrained faith, and we've already got more laughs already than any of the rest of you have given. Right back there from our dear friend. What a wonderful thing. What would we do without children? Yes, children teach us in Sunday school. Children run through the place outside and inside and in the sanctuary to worship. And as we minister to them, we grow. Just having her be here says something to her, even though you don't think she's got a clue what's going on. she's getting a lot more than you understand. And if you've ever been a teacher and you think the student that's not listening isn't listening and isn't getting it, you want to know something? They're getting a lot. When we think that life is a matter of accumulation, domination, accommodation, the sound of a child's cry or laugh can bring us back to earth. A child's laughter can brighten our entire world. A child's love can give us something to live for. A child's faith can keep a parent on the right track. For the Bible says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So give a special hug and an embrace to every single child that's here today and every child that you meet during the course of the week. And remember that Jesus is telling you something. He's taking a child, he's bringing that child into your focus, into your gaze, into your presence, and that child is supposed to teach you something. Will you listen? Will you learn? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the children, for their laughter, for their love, for their faith. We pray, O God, that you would be with us as we continue our time of fellowship following this service outside. We pray that you would bless that time of fellowship. We praise you for each child that's here today, that's part of this church's life. And we just pray that we would always be a church that loves children, focuses on children, learns from children. May all of us do that in Jesus' name. Amen.